kind of like our sin, I want you to know God hates our sin. He loves us, but he hates sin. I got one amen. I know people get squeamish anytime we use the word God and the word hate, but I want you to know he hates sin. He wants to set us free, not only from the power of sin, not only from the penalty of sin, he wants to set us free from sin. And you know, here's the thing, it's a process. I know it's a process. One of these days, I'm going to be sinless. And I can't wait. But I'm not going to wait till then to start working on it. This is called our sanctification time, folks. From the time you become a believer in Jesus Christ, he is in the process of setting you free from sin so that you don't sin. He wants us not to sin. And yes, we still do sin. But here's the thing. He wants us to keep getting closer to the goal each and every day. Don't give up on this battle against sin. You know, I find that in Christianity, we have a lot of different camps on this. You know, by camps, I mean different groups of people that believe different things. And so, you know, just to kind of start out, we'll kind of talk about it a little bit. I have actually met people that think they are sinless. Have you ever met a person that thinks that they don't sin anymore? That's a scary thing. Usually by the time they get done with the conversation, they've already proven that they're not right. So I just want you to know we're still going to struggle with the temptation to sin, and we will still fall to it at times. And God does have a plan for that, okay? And the plan is just like the way that we got saved in the first place, which I don't believe you can lose your salvation. Just because you're sin, you do commit a sin, doesn't mean you lose your salvation. But what it means is we do need to go back to the Father, ask him for forgiveness through Jesus, and we need to continue on because he's setting us free from that a little bit at a time. There's some sins that seem like are a little more besetting, and so we keep experiencing temptation, and we kind of seem to keep falling into that. Can anybody relate to that? Is there that one or two or three or four things that seems like you just keep falling into? It happens, you know? Okay, I get it. But I want us to understand God's not just over there saying, you know, well, you know, I know they're a sinner, so I'm okay with their sin. That's not what God's saying. He's saying, my son died for that sin. That's how serious it is. And that sin is not entering into heaven. And so, yes, I've cleansed them effectively by covering them on the outside. When God sees us, he sees his son Jesus. And I praise God for that. We're covered in the blood of Christ if we're a believer. But on an individual level, he's helping us to work on them. You know, there's some of those sins that God showed me as soon as I got saved. And he some of them he just kind of, you know, he helped rescue me from some of them quicker than others. And I was like, oh, man, this is awesome. You know, I'm feeling freedom from that. This is so great. There were some others and are some others that I have to keep working on. Guys, keep working on it. Okay, so we talked about the camp that thought that they might be sinless already. You're not going to be totally sinless till you get to heaven. We're going to still need to repent. We're going to still need to work on it. There's some that have decided, oh, well, God knows I'm a sinner. He's okay with it, so I'll just go ahead and do anything I want. Have you ever met a person like that or a group like that? Bad plan. Bible speaks differently on this subject. That's what we're going to talk about today. And I want us to be a part of the camp that says, I'm cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord and hallelujah. Amen. But God is doing a work of setting me apart. It's called sanctification, so that he's teaching me to overcome the sins in my life. Because you see, sin brings slavery. God wants to set us free from that slavery. And the way that it happens is as we bring that sin out into the light, we confess it. We went over that last week in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do I get a praise of the Lord to that? And so we have the remedy for it, and we need to work on it. And effectively, if I die today, I'm going to heaven, not because I'm good enough and not because I don't sin anymore, but because Jesus has covered me with his righteousness, and I have the blood of Christ covering me. When Jesus died on the cross and said, it's finished, he meant it. Everything that had ever had to be paid for sin had been paid on the cross. But guess what? The day I got saved, he decided he was going to leave me here on planet Earth a little while longer. I've been saved for 21 years. He wants me, during this period of time that I'm still here, to keep working on it. Because he's got a plan for me. It's all part of my testimony. It's all part of how he's leading other people to Christ. You know, and they're going to see that there's something different happening in you. And that's what's going to draw them to Christ, because they want to be set free too. There's not too many people that want to stay ensnared in things that are harming them. Most people want to be set free. So let's give them a reason to want to come with us. And that's what 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 8 is talking about. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's word here. First John chapter 2, 1 through 8. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Praise the Lord. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Let us pray. Dear Father, help us to learn to walk as Jesus walked. And Lord, this is called sanctification. There's salvation that happens the moment that we trust Jesus as our Savior. And we call on him and say, Lord Jesus, King Jesus, be the King of my life from this point on. And so, Lord, that's our salvation. But there's a sanctification that's going to happen for the rest of the time that we're on planet Earth. That sanctification means that we're being set apart for you. We're learning how to be more like Jesus. And to be more like Jesus, then we're going to have to learn to overcome these sins in our lives. And so, yes, there's work to do. This work doesn't save us, but it proves that we are saved. Because it proves that Holy Spirit's living in us and that you're working on us. So help us, Lord, to learn to do this battle until that glorious day when we truly are sinless and in heaven with you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Let's kind of break it down just a little bit. I love it that we have an advocate. Verse 1 tells us that. We have an advocate. What is an advocate? It's like a lawyer. It's like one who goes before us and stands there to represent us. And guess who that advocate is? Jesus. The Christ, the Holy One, Messiah, the righteous. Praise God, we have an advocate. Amen? He speaks on our behalf. You know what he's doing right now? It says he's making intercession for us. He's at the right hand of the Father right now, being our advocate. Praise the Lord. So yes, John wrote this to us so that we may not sin, but when we do, because we're still human, we still have the weakness of the flesh. But when we do, we still should confess it and go through Jesus, our advocate, to the Father and find forgiveness yet again. Amen? It ain't like we're redoing our salvation every time. Guys, I want you to rest assured that if you're saved in Christ, you're really saved. But that salvation is going to have some evidence. And that evidence is that you're going to hate sin just like God hates sin. You're not going to love it and revel in it anymore. You're not going to be able to do it anymore and not feel guilty about it either. Do I get an amen? Everybody that's been walking with Christ for a while kind of gets this. You know, it's kind of like a lot of stuff I used to do, and it didn't bother me at all. After I got saved, all of a sudden, it started bothering me real bad. And you know, it's funny how God just keeps fine-tuning it in and in and in, right down to the very issues of the heart. Thoughts I used to think that would be like maybe despising someone because of their weakness or their maybe whatever it was about them that I didn't like, God even begins to show us that sin. Stuff I used to justify and say, well, I just did that because they did this to me. God says, not allowed anymore. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in me, and he ain't putting up with it. It's one of those evidences that the Holy Spirit really lives in us is because he convicts us over this sin. But rest assured and have joy in the fact that you have an advocate. You've got somebody you can go to. You've got someone who'll go to the Father for you. His name is Jesus. Have you called on Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord? Do you know him? If you do, he knows you, and he'll go for you. He'll be your representative. You think if Jesus says, Father, forgive him, do you think the Father's going to not forgive us? No. Anything Jesus asks for, the Father gives him. Amen? Because he's one with the Father. Guys, you know why we need an advocate? Because God's still angry over our sin. Now, I don't want you to think that God's like wanting to beat us up. He loves us. That's why he sent Jesus. Go ahead and go to the next slide, Isaiah. He's angry over our sin. That's why Jesus died. If you want to know how did God the Father feel about sin, look at the cross. Does the cross look pretty? Cross wasn't pretty, guys. I'm going to tell you something. For those who don't know Jesus, Judgment Day ain't going to be pretty either. This is serious business. Sometimes people think, oh, well, Jesus came and he died for the whole world. That means the whole world's going to be safe. It's going to be okay. Let's all just sing kumbaya together. No, that's not the way it is. If you don't know Christ, you're going to have the wrath of God being poured out on you forever. God is not okay with sin. He's still not okay with sin. The cross proves it. He poured out his wrath on his son. His son could take it because his son was perfect. We're not. But I want you to know that if you're in the son, what he paid on that cross is your payment in full. When Jesus said, it's finished, that's what he meant. He meant, it's paid in full, and anybody who comes after me won't have to pay for their sin. Praise be to Jesus. He wants you to have that free gift. But don't take sin lightly just because you have it. In fact, that sin should maybe even break our heart a little more then, don't you think? Because Jesus had to die for me. But you see, that word there I underlined, that was me that put the underlined part in verse 2. He himself is the propitiation. How many of you guys use that word every day in your normal language? It doesn't happen very often, okay? It's kind of an interesting word that's sort of just reserved just for this one purpose. We only find it a couple times in the New Testament. And what it's talking about is pain in full. Pain, the penalty in full. Like, there was only one who could pay that penalty in full, and it's Jesus. But whenever we look at this verb, and I don't know, maybe one of you guys can pronounce that. It's, or this noun, it's related to a verb, halaskamai. Okay, I'm sure I butchered that, which denotes the act of appeasing angered gods. This was a word that they would be just a little bit more attuned with because of all the different gods who were having sacrifices made unto them. And what this really denotes is the fact that God's not pleased with sin, and somebody had to step in, and there was only one who could do it, who could pay for it in full, and his name's Jesus. But we need to make sure that we understand that was because God's not okay with sin. Sin is handled so flippantly in our culture today. In fact, from time to time, you'll see people that display it, like on social media and things. I saw this argument happening one time about whether or not a Christian who's really living for Christ should watch this show called A Game of Thrones. I don't know. I've never watched the show, but I heard a big discussion about it on this little talk line on this social media thing, and another Christian chimed in and said that it showed nudity. It even had acts of violence, even up to the act of forcible rape in it that was displayed in the show. And this other gentleman chimed in and said, yeah, but Jesus paid for all my sins. I can do anything I want because I've got my free ticket to heaven. Now, I'm just going to tell you, that gentleman's in dangerous territory. And I'll tell you why. Because it flies in the face of everything that the Scripture says. He said, God's will is for me to be in heaven with him. He's happy about that. It doesn't matter what I do. And you know, I usually won't get in an internet argument because they usually don't go very far. All I did was post a scripture on that. And it says from, I think it's 2 Thessalonians, this is the will of God for you, your sanctification. Therefore, abstain from sexual immorality. Period. God said it is true. And now it's time for us to follow and do it. This is the will of God for us, our sanctification. He wants to set us apart. He's teaching us to be at home in heaven. Guys, I'm going to tell you, a whole lot of people think they're going to go there, but I don't know that they really want to be there. They just don't want to be in hell. Here's what I want you to want. I want you to long for heaven. I want you to look forward to heaven. Yeah, you won't be in hell, praise God. I don't want to be in hell either. But you know what I want more than that? I want to be with God. And you know what? He's not letting us bring our sin in with us. Praise God. So are we trying to keep his commandments? That's what he goes on to say in verses 3 through 4. He says, by this we know that we know him. Do you know him? Do you know him? You know how you can know if you know him? Keep his commandments. Desire to, want to. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Man, that is so politically incorrect. It's God's word. He said, the way we can know that we really have a relationship with God is if we hate our sin and we really want to do what God wants us to do. I know none of us do it perfectly yet, but do you want to? That's the question. Do you want to? In fact, we kind of go back to Matthew here a little bit. In Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So if we want to condense it down, and we just want to say, how am I doing at this? I'm just going to ask you, are you able to love God perfectly? Then you need to keep working on it. Are you able to really love your neighbor just like yourself, like love him perfectly? I'm still struggling on that one too, so I got to keep working on it. But I can tell you I'm getting closer. I'm a lot closer than where I used to be. You see, it's not pass or fail on this one. It's levels of improvement as we get closer to being like Christ. Do we want to improve? Do we want to do better? That's the question. I think it shows that we really have that relationship with Christ if we do. Acts chapter 15, verses 19 through 20. Therefore, I judge that you shall not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. in the early church, they're deciding, how do we follow the commandments of God? And they said, man, this is a great starting point right here. Get the sexual immorality out of our lives. Get in a place where we're not worshiping idols anymore. And the life is in the blood. So don't be purposely involved in this issue of taking ingesting blood. Is like, so, you know, it was part of the pagan rituals of the day. So some would say, does that mean my steak can't be rare? I'm going to say that's between you and God. But don't you violate your conscience on this one. If it bothers your conscience, then don't eat your steak rare. But I would also say I wouldn't be out ripping the heart out of the deer and drinking its blood so you can take on its spirit. That would definitely be a violation of what this is saying. Because that was the kind of stuff the pagans were doing, and he wanted them to divide themselves off from that. How about that thing of sexual immorality? What is this? Guys, any sexual activity that is immoral or outside of marriage is called fornication. It comes from a word that it's like pornea. Do you see some connections there? Pornography? Sexual immorality. I don't care where we are or how we got to Jesus. Once we've gotten to Jesus, we need to denounce it. It says it shouldn't even be named among us of the body of believers. Is it going to be a struggle to try to get that eradicated out of our life? Sure. But he wants us to keep working at it. Take the necessary steps. Sometimes it's a little painful. But I'm going to ask you something. Is there ever a reward when we follow the Lord? Always. Let's do it. Let's start there. Let's follow the commands of Christ. I think it's part of loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. You see, guys, here's the thing. We're not just getting a free ticket to heaven here. The way we get to heaven is to abide in Christ. What does that word abide mean? It means like live within. Live, you know, in connection with all the time. Abide in Christ. 1 John 2, verses 5 through 6 says, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, that we may know that we are in him. You see, the ticket to heaven isn't this ticket that we stick in our back pocket and whenever I get there, I'll pull it out. It's not like that. It's like when you stand before the Father, Jesus steps up beside you and says, well done, good and faithful servant. And he stands there with you in your place and says, this one's mine. That's what it means to enter into heaven. And so we need to be in a constant state of abiding in Christ. What does that look like practically? I think it's like living in connection with him each and every day. It's like when you do mess up, you don't hide from him. You say, I'm sorry, Jesus. I know you died for that. I know that that was painful for you. Help me. Forgive me. It means you're reading his word. You're part of the fellowship too. Amen? Like we actually show up and we worship together as the body of Christ. We do this together. That's part of it. We're abiding in Christ. We're living in connection with him all the time. We're praying without ceasing. Do you have a conversation with God during the day? Even when you're not stopped with your eyes closed and you're bowing and your head in prayer, but just like all day, you're talking to him. You know, I've been on the phone with people and they know I'm driving and talking to people in the church, and I'll say, here, let me pray for you. I actually had somebody say, don't do it, you're driving. I pray with my eyes open. You can do it. It's called abiding in Christ. It's like living there. He's your best friend. You are together, man. And you're, whenever you do mess up, you feel a sense of conviction. That's why most people don't like all that togetherness. He cramps your style. You know, I remember TV shows I used to watch before I got saved, and then after I got saved, and we put this little thing up in front of our TV. It said, Jesus. And I'm watching one of those shows, and I'm thinking, I wonder what Jesus would think if he was here. And he said, I am. I'm already there. You know what? I turned that show off. I didn't watch it no more. And he just kept cramping that one down until pretty much I just quit watching just about any of the regular TV type stuff, because it all had something in it that was asking you to eat a little bit of poison to watch it. Do you want to abide in Christ? Because that is the essence of salvation. In fact, he goes on in verses 7 and 8, and he shows us that this is what the Old and the New Testament were all about anyways. The old and the new. He says, I write you a new, I write no new commandment. In fact, this is what it was all pointing forward into in the first place, is what he's saying here, I think. And he says, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning, the old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. The Old Testament is pointing forward to this. He wants us to abide in him. And again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you. I think he's saying, this is why Jesus came. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. It's shining in Christ. Guys, just reminding us, this whole thing of people thinking they can get to this ticket of it to heaven and just have it with them and do anything they want, and they're going to be safe when they get there. It's the wrong headed response to this whole thing. In fact, you know, what he really wants us to be doing is knowing he is the way. John 14:6 makes it clear. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that. No one comes to the Father except through me. Guys, he wants us to walk with him. He wants us to be in him. He wants us to know that we are walking with him. And you know what, how we're going to know some of these things? We can know it. Are you in Christ? Let's do a little checklist here. We like checklists, don't we? This ain't one that you just do. This is one that has some questions. Last slide. Does it grieve us that Jesus had to die for our sin? Does that ever grieve your heart when you think about it? Guys, I'm going to tell you, he didn't die for himself up there. He didn't die because I'm so awesome and he just really wanted me in heaven. He had to have me there. It wasn't like that, and a lot of people act like that. He died because he knew that none of us could save ourselves. He died because he was the only one who was perfect and didn't deserve to die, and therefore he could be our substitute. He could be the propitiation. He could go before his Father and say, I know that you're going to pour your anger out on them. Pour it out on me instead, because I can take it. And you know what? The third day came, and y'all know what happened on the third day. He didn't stay dead. He proved he is the way. Does it grieve us that he had to do that for us? And do we want to be more like him? That's another question. You guys answer this for yourselves. You don't have to raise hands or anything like that. I want you to think about it. You may not even be able to answer it right away. Think about it. Do we want to be like him? Do we want to sin less? Does that become the desire of our heart? Does it grieve us to keep sinning? And do we look forward to being sinless? I'm going to tell you, I'm looking forward to heaven, but one of the things I found more and more that I'm looking most forward to is I am not even going to be tempted to sin in heaven. Struggle is finally going to be over. We may have a decision to make here today, I don't know. Each one of us, as we look inward, need to ask ourselves, am I abiding in Christ? And if there is something in your life that you haven't been dealing with and you know you need to deal with, and God's put the pressure on you and you're trying to shrug him off, or you're trying to ignore it because you know it's going to be painful, or it's going to take a struggle, or it's not going to be easy, or whatever, I would suggest that today would be a good day just to nail it down. All you got to do is just surrender it to Christ and start working with him on it. You may fall again. I have. You know the awesome thing is? He takes us back. And he says, let's keep working on it. Let's keep working on it. Guys, we have got to get it resolved that we want to work on it. I'm afraid that too many people are not living a victorious Christian life because we've got sin in our life that we're not dealing with. And God's not okay with the sin. He loves you, but he don't love your sin. He wants you to work on it. He'll help you. It's his strength. It's his power. But we got to be agreed. So let's do it. If there's anything in your life that you want to surrender to him, let's do it today. Let's pray. Dear God, we just want to offer up this time of invitation to you. Lord, we're all at some point or another still struggling with some type of sin in our lives. The only difference between a saved and an unsaved person is a saved person has realized that you are the solution to the sin, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, if there's anybody here that hadn't given their heart to you as their Lord and Savior, I pray today would be the day to do it, that they would just surrender themselves and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I give my heart to you today. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and rose again from the dead, that He is truly the way to the truth and the life. Now be the king of my life. Be my King Jesus. Lord, if there's anybody here that wants to pray that prayer today, I pray that they will just do it. If they may want to come forward and pray with me, that's awesome. Either way, that they would surrender their heart to you, and eventually that they will be public about their surrender, that they will become a professing Christian, one who professes it publicly, for with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart one believes. And so I pray that one would truly give their heart to you. And Lord, if there may be some of us that are here today, we've been saved for a long time, but it seems like there's just that one thing in our life, or those two things in our life that we continue to struggle with. Could be a lust of the eye, could be a lust of the flesh, it could be that habit that we know we need to get rid of, Lord, and you've already told us you don't want us having it, but we don't want to give it up all the way. But Lord, it burdens us, and it seems to be hurting our relationship with you, so help us to surrender that today. It could be the pride of life, it could be an issue of pride in our life, Lord, whatever it is, I pray we'll surrender it today, because we know you love us. But you're not okay with the sin. Help us to live victorious lives in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.